Welcome to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. As we love to start the week, we start on fire with the Monday A-grades. What's really getting under your skin? And you know what we also like to do? What's doing Guru's head in? I'll tell you what's doing his head in. Game meat. Who has game meat? Have a listen.
The Monday A-grades with Joel and Fletch.
Yes, time to open the shoulders. Who's the A-grades? Who are the A-grades of the week? 1300 01 1170. Let us know your A-grades. 0457 736 736. Gibbo, you know what? I think we start with yours this week.
Yeah, boys. So, obviously, I love my Test cricket. I'm a bit of a Black Caps fan, and I think it was really disappointing last night. Joe Root and the English cricket side, they had a chance to take the game on. So, essentially, New Zealand declared at lunchtime, and it was 267 runs required off about 60-odd overs. Now, like, in the Aussie summer, India came out here and they took the game on.
Yep.
Where England just came out and they were batting it safe. It was really disappointing. Where Kane Williamson probably didn't need to declare at lunch to give New Zealand a chance to win. But England, I don't think they were playing in the right way. So my Monday A grade is Joe Root and the English cricket side.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And Bumble. David Lloyd, he gave him a big spank, didn't he?
I think a lot of people, media commentators, were quite annoyed with it because they lost a day to rain. So there was a whole washout day. And England have got a lot of Test cricket playing this year. It was just weird to see in the first Test of the series of their summer, they didn't attack the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether or not that's Joe Root's position's been under scrutiny for a little while, but yeah, anyway, that was my one, boys.
What's the rules, Gibbo, if it is a tied series? Like, how do they get to the number one?
So is this for the Test Championship final?
Yes.
Okay, so that's against India in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes, that's so what I'm saying. I probably should explain that better. Is it just a one-off test?
Yes, just a one-off test.
And if it's drawn,
yep.
What happens?
I think it's similar to the World Cup final where it goes on boundaries and wickets.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I'm sure it'll be work like that. They did say if there was going to be rainy days, they could have a reserve day too. So it being in England, it's always a possibility.
Mm. All right, my A grade.
What do you got?
Now, this is becoming a phenomenon, and it's I'm seeing them everywhere. First, it started in the city with Clover Moor, the bike lane.
Oh.
Now the bike lane is in Bondi Junction.
Ooh.
So I asked the local councillor, because it's freedom of act of secrecy or whatever it is.
freedom of active secrecy.
I want to know how much it costs. So the bloke said to me, about $40 million. There's a bike lane that's running through the middle of Bondi Junction. It caused chaos everywhere.
Mm.
Bike lane's finished.
Yep.
I'm driving up Oxford Street. There's two cyclists.
Yep.
Not in the bike lane.
No, that's right.
On the effing road in front of me. The one in the city, there's no one ever on there.
Yep.
They got rid of parking. What is the fascination with bike lanes?
Ridiculous. And if you're going to have bike lanes and invest money and stuff like that, you need to have registration plates.
I agree. Because otherwise, who's paying for that? I tell you who's paying for it. Taxpayers.
That's right. That's right.
And also, the lights and that stupid, they haven't got their own like little logo on the lights.
Keep the buggers honest.
Yeah.
Get a rego plate on them, hey? They're going to share the roads. You got to know the road rules for starters. You don't just ride when it suits you and when it doesn't.
And get in your bike lane.
Exactly.
Get in your $40 million bike lane.
Mm.
Got rid of my favourite pie shop too.
Stay in your lane.
But that's the thing. Like every time we do this A-grade thing, it seems like every 2-3 weeks there's a common theme.
Mm.
Bikes.
Clover Moore. Yeah. Oh, sorry, bike.
I'll tell you, we're getting plenty here coming through. Boys, Corey writes, on the way home, heading westbound on the M4, he said the Queenslanders are A-grades because there's a 4X, big 4X ad, which has never been spotted there. But guess what? Origin comes around, bang.
It's good marketing.
It is good marketing.
It's great marketing.
It is great marketing.
Gibbo is my A-grader for being a Black Caps. That's Dazza from Dragon. But Gibbo, you've got a bit of heritage here, don't you?
Yeah, so I've got some Māori blood, so I like to dabble in some of the New Zealand sports teams. Mm. Not all. Definitely not the All Blacks, but the Black Caps, they play it in the right way.
Why not the All Blacks?
Because the All Blacks are pretty dominant, and they always used to win, where the Black Caps
used
to lose. Yeah, and in the Australian cricket team, I don't know, they were pretty arrogant.
Mm.
But thanks, Dazza.
Good on you, Dazza. It's called, Fletchy, it's called the Freedom of Information Act. That's the one I was looking for.
Secrecy Act.
Secrecy Act. Freedom of Secrecy Act.
Yes.
Hey, that's my one.
Keep them coming through, 1300 011 70. And April's waiting patiently for the news, but when we return, we're going to just open the floor. It is your time to shine with your A-grades.
What's yours?
My A-grade is the rugby league players who are faking it.
Yeah, right.
Who are faking it.
On the field or off the field?
It's definitely off.
Okay. It might be like Steelo. Steelo? Cool.
Up here. I said, whoever won that meat tray is a lucky fella. Holy guacamole, it was David Truella.
Holy guacamole.
It's David Truella. Old Helmet, if you're listening out there, Helmet. Guru, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. What's going on?
No, we're just here talking about Dufty, actually. What's your take on that?
Origin fever.
Yeah,
Origin
all fever. That, yeah. Yep. I'll go either of those two.
How good does it look when you start reading the names out the back line, like from one through to just keep going?
Yeah, read it out for us in a Ray Warren voice, Guru.
Oh, Ray Warren voice. I don't have it on hand. Hang on a second. Where are we?
Yes, you do.
Well, We started with Tedesco. Now, there's Joel. Then Mitchell. We're coming to Trebojevic with Ado Carr. Not far behind Lau, how are you saying, Luke Cleary, and Asaiah Fiti into a cook into another Trebojevic. He just turns it up out of nowhere. Into a Murray, into a Sims, into a Yeo.
Everybody say Yeo. Yeo.
Outstanding.
Guru, Parramatta, back on the winner's board, but Gutho. With the bun. He's got the hair bun.
Yeah.
The man bun. What's your thoughts on that?
The bun's one thing, but then he shaves underneath, like, around the bottom of it. You know what I mean? Like, he shaves, like, so there's no wispy bits that probably don't go up in the ponytail, don't reach the ponytail. If you can't reach the ponytail, then you don't have it. Simple as that.
Right, okay.
Leave the wispy bits out. I'm not a big fan of the man bun. I don't know how it stays up in a bun like that.
Well, he had bobby pins.
It's not like he's got cornrows where it's all nice and tight. It's just loose. It looks like...
They zoomed in, and I think I'm pretty spot on here. He had a few bobby pins, Bobby Browns.
Did he really?
Oh, did he now?
Yeah.
Did he? You can't play with Bobby Browns in your hair, surely.
Nah.
What's doing your head in? This is my favourite. This is my favourite segment of the whole
What's doing my head in?
Week.
Oh, you know what? Someone reminded me of the other night. They were talking about... different meat, wanky animal meat, and someone said they had kangaroo, and then they say it's gamey, and everyone says it's gamey. You know what I mean?
What they say, gamey.
It tastes gamey.
Oh, gamey. You know when people eat kangaroo meat, they go, "Oh, it's gamey," and you think, "What? You don't know what gamey is?"
No.
Just on that. Just on those.
Would Joe Biden have gamey food? You reckon, Guru?
He's all over the gamey meat. He loves gamey meat.
Just on those uncommon meats. Your crocodiles, your emu.
I had crocodile.
It's dog shit.
Of course it is. If it was any good, we'd all be eating it.
That's right. Why do we need to eat any other animals? Like cows and that are all right. Just leave the rest of the land. I had a crocodile somewhere. I was away at Yeppoon for a pre-season camp with the Eels early 2000s and had this crocodile kebab, shish kebab thing. And it was just boring, dry meat that was kind of consistently like chicken, and I was like, what's the point of it?
I'm going to throw one out in. It's going to upset the MasterChef fans. Quail.
John
Quail, no. Dan
Do you
Quail.
Like quail?
I hate it. It tastes, it's got no flavour.
Disgusting. Oh, just the thought of it even. Not the chicken's not, but there's something about a quail, and it looks like a little miniature chicken when you see it all cooked, and it's just, it's really gamey apparently.
Yeah, it's very gamey.
Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. And we just temporarily went behind enemy lines. We spoke with Sats and Badge ahead of Origin. They were a little bit nervous. And as we turned out, so they should have. We went through to the doyen, the luminary of lists, and the general, Luke Patton. What were the doyen of decisions? What were the questions you needed to ask the general? Have a listen. In the meantime, we head north to our colleagues up there, the great Sats and Badge. G'day, boys.
How are you going, boys?
Gentlemen.
Going good. Two days.
We're trying not to be too excited.
Sleeps. Yeah, poor Dane Gagai, hey? It's just a regular.
You know he got his tonsils out when he was six?
Yeah. I tell you, not filthy, Badge. Your mob got the 2 points. The Raiders.
Oh, the boy.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm thinking, pretty sure they didn't play. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Hey, Curtis Scott man of the match over the weekend.
I was about to say that. But Badge, have you ever frequented, I think it was Kokomo nightclub down there?
No, wasn't there.
Is
no,
that
no.
the old private bin or not?
I think it might have been the private bin. Yeah, maybe that's where it is.
Boys, you ever gotten a stink in a pub? Like, you ever had like a pub stink? Like one of those old school, step outside, let's do it.
Well, I grew up in pubs my whole life.
Oh, Stats had 1,000.
Three or four.
And we lived
in the pubs, every pub we owned. So we used to live on top of the pub. So whenever we used to hear a glass smash, my sister and I used to run downstairs and watch our dad just annihilate some poor fool that's come in there to try and take the crown. And
hope he dropped his wallet on the way out.
There's a couple of those times. Picked up the coins. But when I was about 16, I never forgot Dad got in a fight with two guys. And I was the only one left in the pub. And so I jumped the bar and like I was a hero. And as I was running to try and save him, I slipped in some beer spilt on the floor and knocked myself out.
So the blokes come in and so was your dad, obviously, was he behind the bar serving?
Yeah, so we owned the pub and he'd be in the bar. And every Friday night, without doubt, at a majority of our pubs, we would have someone would come in that would be full of squirt just saying, I'm going to try and take the crown, and they would walk out with their tail between their legs or less teeth.
Or not even walking.
Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to try and fight John Sattler?
Can I tell you a really quick funny story?
Alcohol. Yeah.
This could be A grades. There's three A grades in the story. Okay. My first A grade is anyone that paid for the Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather fight today. But my other A grade is these three A grades. Dad was driving. We opened up a pub in a place called Bribey Island in between Brisbane and the Sunshine Coast. Dad was driving back there one day and there was a lady pulled over in a car the opposite side of the road and she was crying and she had these three guys that had all the army green khaki pants on and the shirt. And anyway, they said Dad did a U-turn and went back and she was all distraught. And the guy said, hey, mate, get back in your car. It's got nothing to do with you. He said, guys, come on, just let her go. One of the guys walked towards Dad. Dad went crack, dropped him. Other guy come running around the car. Dad said, don't. He went crack, dropped him as well. Third guy stopped halfway and said, should I, shouldn't I? No, I've got it. My mates have been knocked out. So he walked in. Dad's gone crack, knocked him out as well. Said to the lady, go, get out of here. So she took off. Anyway, he got in the car and drove back to the pub 20 minutes later, pulled into the car park, and there's people on the ground bleeding. There's glass smashed everywhere. Dad walks in and goes, what happened here? They said, oh, John, we wish you were here half an hour ago. I said, what happened? They said, three army guys were here. They just totaled the place.
Genius. Straight out of a movie.
So it was a pretty interesting upbringing.
Roadhouse.
Yes. Hey, Fletch, can I ask you, I heard that you used to get room with Ben Kennedy in Origin camp.
I did.
Yep, two loose cannons. Is there any former player that you would have hated to be roomed with? In Origin?
Robbie Kearns.
Why is that?
Just the way, because he doesn't stop talking at all. And Kearns, he's a mate of mine. He's a champion bloke. But when the conversation ends, you know it's time not to say anything more.
Mm.
And we'd talk and it'd end 3, 2, 1. And anyway, as soon as I heard anyway, I can just imagine being next door to in the bed next to Kearnsy, and you just want to go to bed. Where BK, because he was so grumpy, he just wanted to go straight to bed.
Yeah.
Is it true Laurie Daly just walked around nude everywhere?
Yes, still does.
Yeah,
Fox.
He did that.
Like Woogie up there now, I reckon.
Yeah. He's getting ready for the photo, painting.
We have a no pants Tuesday.
When I was playing back in the 80s, blokes smoked, and I just go, don't put me in with a smoker. I'd get in with Peter Jackson most of the time.
Because you're the only one that can handle
it. Jacko'd have a durry. There was once when we were in camp and Jacko missed out. He was at Brisbane. He was injured in 89 or 80, 89. He'd gone back to the Broncos and he missed out. Anyway, first night in camp, we go out somewhere and we used to, go and do our promotions. And Jacko turned up. He said, I'm coming with you. Yeah, righto. So he was always leading the charge. It's about 3 a.m. We're trying to go home. Nah. Took us back to the Triple M boardroom. We emptied that. And in the end, I said, I'm gone, Jacko. So I jumped in a cab. And as the cab's about to leave, he reached in and grabbed me and ripped my shirt off. So I took a cab home, shirtless, got back to the room. Jacko comes back. He's going, let us in. Wouldn't let him in. Bobby Lynn's my room. He's going, what's going on? I said, it's Jacko. He said, Jacko, shut up. Next thing, he's kicked our door in.
Oh.
And Tosser Turner, the manager, said, it's 3 or 4 in the morning. Tosser's come out and he's gone, what's going on? What happened here? Who did that? And we sort of looked at Jacko. We said, Jacko, that's it. I've had enough of you, mate. That, I can't believe some of the stuff you've done. Righto, you're out, mate. You're out of the camp. You're out of the Queensland side. First bloke ever kicked out. And he went, I'm not even in the team, Tosser.
Choose list Tuesday. That's hard to say, isn't it?
It is. It's another Joelism.
Is it?
Trying to confuse me. Just simple.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that Joel tries to confuse his life?
There's a theory on everything. If a light turned red, he'd say, right, well, the reason that light turned red, and he'd work his way back from there.
I think he needs some of that 166 kilos of cannabis that was floating around by our man who got pinched.
In hot water. Right, we've got the luminary of lists. It's Dean Russell.
Yes. Now, Dean, welcome to the show. Last week, can I tell you this? Last week, we had a list, and it was songs that you couldn't sing in prison. Well, I tell you what, the text board just lit up. So, Dean, what have you got for us today? What list would you like to share with us?
Well, this one's unfortunate sports stars' names. And I promise you...
Oh, like Jimmy Smith. You mean unfortunate playing or unfortunate ability? Or what was...
No, right, just Fletch. Unfortunate names. Unfortunate names, no. So, I promise you...
Sorry, Dean. Sorry, Dean.
I promise you they are all true, these names. You can Google them and come up. And I'll tell you what, there are a wide range of names out there as well. So I've cut it down to 6, if that suits you guys.
Perfect.
We'll start with number 6. He's a table tennis player from China. Mm. He was world number 1 from 2000 to 2002, and his name is Wang Licken.
Okay. How do you spell it, please?
He wants to buy a vowel.
L-I-Q-I-N is how the surname is spelled.
Okay.
Number 5 is a Japanese volleyballer. She played for Japan in, I think, the 2004 Olympics, now coaches them.
Yes.
Yoshi Takeshita.
Yoshi. Spelling?
Yoshi Takeshita. T-A-K-E-S-H-I-T-A.
Right. Okay. Number 4.
Butter chicken will do that.
Number 4. Number 4 is an American swimmer who beat our golden girl Susie O'Neill at the 2000 Olympics and 200 meter butterfly, Misty Hyman.
Now, isn't there a link with the host?
Absolutely.
The regular host of this program.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Dean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Joel ran into Misty Hyman on the 2000 Olympics.
Yes, down at the lap. What was the name of the bar down there?
The lap dance bar.
No,
the last lap.
The last lap. Yeah.
Last lap. Yeah. The last lap. Yes. Yeah. So no, he's kept that a secret, but I will. I might raise that with Kobe when I speak to her next.
Kept it a secret. He told it about 4 times on radio.
Prank call.
All right, number 3 is a pole vaulter from South Korea, went to the 2004 Olympics as well.
Yeah.
Kim Yoo Suk.
Right, okay. Yep.
Number 2 is a famous YouTube clip about this and was a subject matter on the British episode of The Chase. She was an alpine skier from Germany, Fanny Schmeller.
Sorry, Dean, could you just repeat that? What was the first name?
Her first name was Fanny, and her second name, Schmeller, C-H-E-M-L-A-R.
She's German.
Yes. And the number one unfortunate name is Kobe Bryant's uncle, who played for the Chicago Bulls back in, I think, about 78, 79. And his name is Chubby Cox.
Do you reckon we're going to have a third Choose List Tuesday?
We will.
The censors are going to knock us out.
Remember the head of the drug, the US, or the world drug anti-
WADA.
Was it Dick Pound?
Yeah, he was a Dick Pound,
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, there you go. Okay.
Because you are the doyen of decisions, we have a text that's come through. And now this is from Stilo. So Stilo says, Dear Joel and Fletch, can you please ask the doyen of decisions? I actually have a very small appendage. Not guys who have 5 inches who think they're small.
Fletch. I'm Steelo said, don't mention the name Steelo.
I mean, well, that's not obviously a real name. Yeah. I'm 3.5 inches when I'm getting excited. It's really embarrassing, and I know it's bad because no woman has ever wanted to have sex with me more than once. I feel hopeless. Doyenne, help.
Oh, far out. The Monday arvo has really escalated here.
But what's his decision? There's no decision to
be
made.
He's saying, what should he do? He's asking for help. Yeah. I know there's no decision. Well, what does he do? Does he go get surgery?
He could get surgery, I guess. He could work on other parts of his game, maybe where, if he wants to improve other areas of his game and make them strengths, and, maybe that's an option. I don't know.
I know what you're saying. Work on your kicking game a little bit better.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's put it in rugby league. Really let's put it on rugby league analogy.
Hey, we are short on time. Gibbo's also got, you've got a conundrum, Gibbo.
Yeah, g'day. It's close to Steely. G'day, General. I'm just trying to work out. What's the acceptable amount of time that you can go after your friend's ex-girlfriend?
Oh, great question.
Thank you, General.
How good a friend?
Great question.
Good friend, close, tight?
Oh, same footy team, possibly housemate.
Oh, possible housemate? Oh, yeah. You can't. No, you got to put a line through it. You can't. I mean, that's going to impact too big on your friendship. And so you just got to put a line through the girl. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, no, fair enough, General.
I don't think he's going to heed your advice anyway, General, but that's the giveaway we know. Doyenne, thank you very much, mate. Hopefully not too much work comes out of Origin for you. Oh, hang on.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Hope it's a great game of footy, eh?
Yes, we are. But Doyenne Steelo just texted in. He said, thank you very much. You have your whole body. How could I forget? Well done. Thank you very much, Hussein.
Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. And it was a Fletch-a-thon, Fletchy stories, Fletchy's financial fiscal reports. It was Fletchy flicks. It was the sex bot and more. Have a listen.
But now it's time for this. Working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks for free. By the way, that's all thanks to First Point Mortgage Brokers. You know I've got my mortgage through First Point.
I don't.
Yeah.
Which
Chris,
one?
Chris.
No, which mortgage?
Yeah, not bad. Sydney's home loan specialist. Finding you the right home loan. At least, you've already paid off all your properties, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
No?
I'm waiting for the inheritance of my wife.
Cash.
What if I say this name? Jeff Bezos. What do you think? What comes to your mind?
Amazon.
Amazon, yeah.
Well, he was the billionaire founder. Mm. Guess what he's doing now? So him and his bro, they're going to fly on the first crewed space flight from his rocket company Blue Origin next month. So the new Shepard spacecraft is designed to carry 6 passengers more than 100 kilometres above Earth. Passengers can expect to experience weightlessness and see the Earth's curvature. July 20 is Blue Origin's target. So the highest bid for a seat on the space flight at the moment, $3.6 million. So you're going up with Jeff, his brother.
How many? 100 seats?
No, 6.
Oh, 6 seats.
6 seats. But Bezos and his bro are obviously going in. They're not going to kick in.
No, I think he's kicked in already.
But they're up again. So it's fellow billionaires, Elon Musk and Richard Branson. So they've been investing billions and billions of dollars on their rocket startups. Boys, can I ask you, have you got any interest in going up to see the Earth's curvature?
Zero.
Not really.
Neither do I.
Zero. You know what it is, though? These guys have conquered the world. They have conquered the world. These guys are the two richest guys in the world, depending on whatever the share price is of Tesla on any given day. They alternate between first and second.
Yeah.
What else is there to conquer on the earth? So they just think...
Oh, it's deep.
Yeah, it is. It's like, where can I go where no man has gone before? And don't answer that, Brian.
Well, you've been. Gary's. You've been a Gary's.
Gary's gone.
No, but look, you go up in space. You're not actually going to see the moon. You're not seeing anything else. You're just going up.
Yeah.
100 Ks up.
Yeah.
See the Earth, and then what do you come back down?
For three. What's the bloke paid? $3 million.
Well, hang on. The highest bid so far, no one's been, because it's obviously July 20 is the cutoff, $3.6 million just to go up, hang out with the Bezoses.
So it's an auction too. So just boom, boom, boom.
Yep. And let me use a wheel.
Boom, 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 boom. Hey, he's a ruthless sort of dude, right?
Yeah, I know.
Have you heard the yarns about him?
Yes.
Diapers.com, you heard about that one?
No, do tell.
Oh, so they have their
owned segments of the market. Amazon just grew, and they made some acquisitions, and then they were looking to buy diapers.com, and I think they were a couple of brothers that set it up, and it was basically delivered subscription service, delivered, you've just had your baby,
used,
nappies.
Used or?
No, no new right. ones.
Because I know there's some sickos out there.
And then, and anything else that your baby needs, right?
Okay.
Diapers.com, and they had this really strong online business, right? And he signaled that he was going to buy them. So, and they thought, oh, okay, worth going to listen to. Let's go. And they walked into the office. And when they walked past him to sit down at the desk, he nodded to his assistant. And she then released a price war on Amazon.com of baby nappies and baby products.
Right.
And basically, during the course of the half-hour conversation that they were having about the value of their business, by the end of it, he said, you realise I've just ripped 50% of the value out of your company.
What an ice hole.
That's Jeff Bezos for you. But by the way, he always got home to have dinner with the kids every night. He thought that was important.
Right.
You know, he wasn't a CEO that worked hours and hours and hours. He made sure that he got home to have dinner with the kids because he thought that was good for his decision-making.
But not his wife.
Yeah, it didn't work out well with the marriage.
No, it didn't work out. By the way, they were fake. That's been...
Hello.
It's come to light, yeah.
Who was fake?
The, you know, the pics that came out with the relationship that he had with Lauren Sanchez. Did you get... You all heard about that, right?
Right. Oh. So that was just all set up.
Total set up. Total setup. So Washington Post, he owns, right? And they were very critical. It's a Democrat newspaper, very critical of Donald Trump. So Donald Trump got his people to, all right, let's dig up some stuff on this. And the brother of Lauren Sanchez, they got to him and said, come on, give us something, give us something. And he got through the phone and they went, come on, we need more, we need more. So he just went online and said, oh, these are some intimate photos of Jeff Bezos, but they're all made up.
So did his missus fall for that or what? Happened? Like what was? Oh,
no, they're divorced.
Yeah, right.
But he's still with Lauren Sanchez.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But it was Lauren Sanchez's brother that did it. But he just got too far in, and he went, "Oh, I've got to give him something."
Is his brother is that dirty? Dirty's done the dirty. Oh gosh, Joe!
Stop it. Didn't we walk into that?
Yeah, you did walk into that.
Wow!
I gave you time to get out.
I know. Yeah.
I didn't gave want you to get time. Out. I said you're 100 km from the Earth's curvature. Get out.
First Point Mortgage Brokers want no association whatsoever with that segment. Start refinancing journey now with Sydney's home loan specialist. Call 9527 2230. That's 9527 2230.
Yeah, it's time for Fletch Flicks. We haven't done this for a while. What are you watching at the moment, James? Any shows you?
Well, we just got a text message in from someone saying, hey, lighten up, Jimmy. It's not that type of program or whatever. So I can't tell you what I have just been writing.
Of course you can.
Really?
Don't listen to South Coast Fletch.
Yeah. What does he call himself? Is he Fletch from the South Coast?
I think so, because he kept saying Fletch, like he, I don't know whether he's talking to me or talking about himself.
We thought he was texting into his own show. Yeah. So that's why.
I've been talking about myself in the third person.
That's right. There you go. We watched a documentary last night, my wife and I, called On the Record.
Yeah.
What do we do? What are you doing?
No, nothing.
Just keep going. No, this is here we go.
No. Go. Please go.
On the Record.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was about Russell Simmons. Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Def Jam Records.
Oh, yes. So. All right, Jimmy.
What's
that's it? Music we like to hear. Oscar music. You know when they make a speech and you want to get
off? Oh, you want him.
You want him.
Just like to thank the Academy.
Yeah, they get him off.
All right, okay. We'll get to your thing.
Okay,
some
so
bloke
this
in
is...
the nude falling out of a tree.
That's exactly what it is.
How did you know this?
So it's Naked and Afraid XL. So a contestant on Discovery's Naked and Afraid XL suffered one of the most serious injuries the show has ever seen, but still managed to tough it out. So do you know much about this show? Basically,
Zero. They
get put in. It's a bit like Survivor, but they got nothing on.
And what do you see? Everything.
Everything.
Right. Do they pixelate it out? Yeah.
No. Not on my version.
Subscriber edition.
No. You know when it goes dark, they get the infrared. Anyway, the hit Survivor series is in the midst of its all-star season that sees previous survivors return for an even more heightened challenge in the dire swamps of Louisiana for never before attempted 60 days. Usually they do 45. Unfortunately for survivors E.J. Schneider, his journey almost came to an end when his health and his private parts were at risk of needing attention. What had happened was he basically had a scary spill. He was in a tree away from the swamp. Didn't want to get attacked by any crocs, alligators.
Fair enough. But yeah, alligators. Yeah,
he fell, and this is basically the audience were reminded of how dangerous the naked part is of this, because he had to deal with several lacerations to his downstairs.
Right.
The outlet reports that he was given the option by the show's medical staff to end his time in the competition and seek medical treatment at a hospital, or he could stay and basically risk a potential life-threatening infection and the loss of his orchestras.
So that was my next question. When you said downstairs, the...
scrotum.
Right, okay.
So lacerated.
Right, so it could have been scrotum or...
But he decided to stay in. So we're talking about these Origin players taking a dive.
Right.
Well, Daly Cherry Evans... don't you take a dive, because look at EJ. EJ Schneider almost had his...
you know what?
His
orchestras.
Orchestra stalls cut off, and he just kept going.
Right. So you've now related that to the gentleman's agreement between...
He's had 18 stitches
to
one of the most sensitive parts of his body.
Right.
Despite his determination, the injury did mean that his capacity to be useful in the 60-day challenge was diminished. He was told to stay out of the water and not to move. So nothing happened.
What are they competing for? Is it like a big prize money? Like, is it worth... is him going, right, I'm going to stay in there because I'm a chance to...
Yeah, it's big money. I don't know how much exactly, but it's huge.
Okay. So well done, EJ Schneider.
Good on you, Schneider.
Origin intent.
Okay, so basically I found this, and this is quite scary.
Yeah.
This is... We live in an era of hackers. Your future sex robot could be hacked and programmed to murder you. Now, I'm just going to give you a hypothetical. Imagine this. It's the year 2097. Here you are enjoying the 84th season of House of Cards. That's a good one. on your Wi-Fi, when your significant other walks into the room. Sure, she isn't human, but she sure looks like it.
Ooh.
And she has that look in her eye that tells you that she wants to get a little bit freaky.
Ooh.
You float to the bedroom on your hoverboard and are beginning to disrobe when, boom, she strangles you to death with her cold robot hands. So they're basically saying that... you got to be careful when you get a sex robot.
Right.
So I just let... Can Jimmy hear us? Jimmy, you just got to be... Jimmy Smith, make sure you're aware of this. There's been a lot of talk recently with the dangers of AI.
Right.
Because that's artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Freedom of frequency.
Secrecy Act.
But cybersecurity guru Dr. Nick Patterson of Deakin University in Australia has now jumped into conversation warning that it isn't just... artificial intelligent military systems or infrastructure that pose a threat, but sex robots as well.
No.
Nick Patterson. I reckon Nick's got a few stacked up in his room. Hackers can hack into a robot or a robotic device and have full control of the connections, the arms, legs, and other tools.
Ooh.
In some cases, knives or welding devices. Oh, go away, Pato. Often these robots can be upwards of 200 pounds and very strong. So he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Once a robot is hacked, the hacker has full control and can issue instructions to the robot. The last thing you want is for a hacker to have control over one of these sex robots. Once they hack you, they could absolutely be used to perform physical action for an advantageous scenario or to cause damage. It's just by getting paid.
Yeah.
Dr. Pato, you've got to start going on something a little bit. He works for cyber security.
Oh, yeah.
That'll do me. Sex robots. I mean, I only know one guy that has a sex robot.
Yeah, we've been doing that, surely.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome back to the Best of Drive with Joel and Fletch. We took plenty of calls, and a couple of the highlights, I think, was Mark from the Gong. He was nice and fired up, and there was a new term anointed by our man Sparty, WOA. What's WOA? Let Sparty tell the story. So the open line we go, 1300 01 1170. Mark's been very patient. G'day, Mark.
Hey, mate. How are you, boys? Firstly, I'd love to know, Fletcher's in a bit of trouble with the wifey. Oh, yeah. I tell you, I can just tell.
You can.
I watched the Matty John show yesterday,
yeah.
And I've picked it up today. That's classic. I'm in trouble off the wifey. I'll get off the drink.
1,000,000%.
Don't worry.
Mark, you are spot on.
I've been there. I've been there, mate.
Yeah.
So and I'm a 46-year-old, 47-year-old man like you. You think you're 27 still. You get out, and then she's got the shits.
That's what she said. Yeah, she did say that. She said you've got to stop acting and dressing like a 14-year-old.
Just on the dressing, I noticed that Hindy, Maddie's not on the solids. Maddie's still going the checks. Hindy was on the solids.
Yeah, he's trying to take my idea.
Is he?
Yeah, you can't start wearing checks when you're over 40.
Yeah. So.
Got to be solids. Sorry, Mark.
No, you're all right. A grade, mate. I had that many. I was going to go Piers Morgan.
Oh, any time. Throw him in.
Yeah, any time, because he just give it to Naomi Osaka. Anyway, we won't. He's a flog. Then Buzz Rothfield, for talking in the first person. 3 years ago, I wrote a column about how the Todd Greenberg, and then he goes again, he double dips today. Dear Peter. Oh, please, Buzz. Man, I don't mind Buzz. He's a bit of a laugh, but please, come on.
What was that in relation to?
Well, 3 years ago, remember when the Cameron Smith game, when he got thin-binned and there was a big crackdown on the ruck?
Right.
And old Buzzard wrote a letter just before State of Origin saying, Dear Todd, can we stop the penalties before State of Origin? And he took, and he's read his column today, he took the rap for the crackdown ceasing. So he's doubled down again in today's telly and done another Dear Peter letter. Oh, it's laughable.
Well, I didn't see it. What was it? What was the? What's he talking about? Is it for Origin? Is he trying to? He doesn't want to ruin.
Yeah, he's trying to say, yeah, don't ruin Origin. It's respectable, please, Peter. You know,
you do that very well, mate.
Well, very mate, well. I tell you, the kids think he's a fun. The kids think he's a clown, like, and in a funny way. They don't mind Buzz. You know, they don't like it that he gets picked on every Monday, but yeah.
No, he's too smart, Buzz. He knows how to play the game.
He knows
game,
how to pick him, doesn't it?
Yeah,
he knows how to pick him.
He's too smart.
So, and just lastly, the Matt Duffy thing. I'm a Dragon supporter. Mm. I don't know what it is. I think it's got to be a personality thing. That's all it can be.
Has to be, mate. He has to have gotten a few noses out of joint or the coaches. Yeah. That's the only reason.
Okay. Well, then why
is it? Or is it klepto? That's the only thing.
Yeah. Why has he? I play with a klepto.
Did you?
I'll tell you his name in the break. I can't say it on air.
Yeah, mouth it to me. What? Thought he was a do-gooder.
You played him in a grand final, I think. You're fine.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyway, 1-300-01-11-70.
No,
where are we going on this? What were we talking about?
We're talking about...
No, Duffy. Duffy. Like you said.
No, but Hook said in the press conference, I think he said he's won a good game. Isn't it?
He had one good game, but every game he's played, when Zach Lomax was there, they were the only two threatening.
Yeah. No, he's with the ball, no doubt. Would if Melbourne Storm didn't have Pappenhausen, would Bellamy take Duffy?
I would say yes. They do the coffee test.
Yeah.
You know, they take him out for coffee,
yep.
Give him the test.
Yeah.
If you're a nine ball, you're out. If you're an A grader, you're out.
I do remember there's one year, and you probably know this, Joel, you're a bit of a nuffy, like me.
Yeah.
2014, the Storm say about they got their recruitment wrong. And I look at the players they recruited that year, and you do the math and you can work it out.
Yeah, there's three players.
So I know
who they are.
Work. Yeah. And it just did something about the culture. They didn't like it. And you boys would have worked. You would have played with players. The whole team would have been off them, surely.
Well, you don't even need the whole team to be off them. Sometimes when they're really popular, some of the and we're not at all suggesting this is the case with Duffy, by the way. But for what you're explaining, sometimes if the player is popular, it's even worse because they can sort of bring down a few of them. So not always, and again, this is not related to Duffy, but not always does the best player bring the best culture to a team. So and I don't know if that's the case or not the case with Matt Duffy. I haven't heard.
I'll just say this, Joel. Look, everyone knows this. It was a bit like DCE with the old Manly boys at the start. Like, he seems to me like a pretty good bloke, Cherry Evans, but at the start, it seemed like those old boys, they were off him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's well known.
He's a pyro. Heavy pyro.
Well done, Mark. We've got to move on, mate. We've got the guru waiting for us.
Go the Dragons.
Not a problem.
Right, time to go to the open line. That is not. Sparty. Sorry.
Wow.
Hang on. We'll try that again.
I just wanted to stitch him up, to be honest.
Oh, you're a wag.
Hey,
wag, Gibbo.
Sparty, Sparty, what year was this song originally released?
66, I think. Yeah.
And then back to the 90 in the mid 90s. So nothing in between.
It wasn't in the mid 90s either, Brian.
What was it?
No
Mercy.
Yeah. What was No Mercy? 80s.
I've only ever done one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So when was No Mercy? Late 80s.
Yeah. Late 90s. Like 95, 6.
That's what, I just said mid-90s. And sorry, Sparty, you're just confusing me. Anyway, what have you got for us today, buddy?
That's all right. Well, look, hello, Jimmy. Good to have you on board, mate.
Hello, Sparty.
I just want to use this time of the year to bring to you attention to you fellas, an organisation, non-for-profit that I put together 8 years ago, and it's called WOA, Watching Origin Alone. And we're a non-for-profit organisation which gets you membership for 50 into my tab account, which you get a bookmark and a doily with WOA stitched into it. And what I discovered some time ago is that there's plenty of people who are normally quite social, convivial types who enjoy watching your general run-of-the-mill NRL with others. But I, and I include myself in this, found a whole group of people who are WOAers. And they just want to watch Origin on their own. They don't want to interact with others. They feel as though their commentary to themselves and maybe their extended family who are in another room is better than what you would get with others. I just want to say I'm here for you, man. And it's okay to be a WOAer.
Okay.
That's my message.
What's the membership numbers like?
Mm.
Well, 8. Eight.
That's pretty good.
There's 400 jumped in.
Yeah.
No, that's where you're mistaken. There's 7 outstanding invoices. So, the first 50 was put in by me as the founding member and CEO.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, 8 years ago, that 50 is well and truly gone.
Hey, if you had 50, Sparty, if you had 50 in your account, where would you place it for this Origin game, just out of interest?
Tomorrow. Yes. Look, I never do things over the top, so I'd have an 8-leg anytime score a multi. And it would involve both 1, 2, 3, and 5 from the New South Wales team.
Yes.
And it would involve the 6 from the Queensland team.
Mm.
Whatever number Coates is wearing, Xavier, because his name starts with X, and I believe there's not enough first names that start with X in the world.
That's a good
and
point.
I would also have the hooker for Queensland, whomever that may be, who's when they stop their shenanigans.
Right. Yes.
As the hooker.
Right. We presume it's Harry Grant, but we don't know.
That would be my 8-leg multi.
Okay.
And Jimmy, you're brainy, so what would that pay?
Oh.
Be up around the 1500, I'd reckon.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We've got the news to get to now, and thank you for the call, Sparty. Very, very nice. What we'll do is we're speaking to Shawnee Ormerod from sportsbet.com.au at next. So what we'll get him to do is to price up that anytime try score a multi.